Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. For those of you who don't know me, I am Todd Giesbrecht. I'm a part of the very large family, the blonde hair and the blue eyes. I'm studying business out in California at Masters, and this in the next 4 days, I'll be going back to begin my junior year out there. But once again, thank you so much for coming, and thank you to Pastor Dean for allowing me to speak. He's not here, which is a bummer. But I'm very thankful for him and Michelle and the influence they've had on my life. Thank you to all of you for praying while I was in Albania with my team. We were very blessed both with tangible and intangible things. Tangible being that we were safe the whole time. Travel went very smoothly, and we met hundreds, if not thousands, of people the entire trip. And then intangible is there were several people that came to know Christ. Several people who became committed to the church, and several people who learned to love Christ more because of our ministry and because of our Bible studies and various things. Thank you also for... Right. A little better? Okay. If it's bad, just... I can do the handheld mic if you want.
What's that?
I can do the handheld mic if you want.
No, it's okay.
Just don't go like this.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you to those of you who gave financially and for your support in that way. You guys were so generous to the point where actually the last 2 weeks we had so much money that we were able to buy instruments, buy technology, buy TVs, buy things for the churches to help with ministries. And that was just incredible. And they were really blessed by that. And then finally, and a little more specifically, there's several of you in this room. I won't say your names, but the day I was born, the first church I came to was here. For the last 20 years, I've been here, and I've been shepherded, I've been guided, and I've been taught the Bible by several of you in this room. Some aren't here, but for those of you who are, I just wanted to say thank you. I'm super, I can't describe it, but I'm so thankful for you, and I hope that this time is an encouragement to you, because I know that ministry can get tiring sometimes, especially for young people, but I pray, and I don't say this from like a prideful or like I've arrived, but the change that's happened in my heart has been first and foremost because of the Lord Jesus, but secondly, because of the seeds that you planted in my heart over the years. So thank you so much for that. Open your Bibles to Acts 13, verse 26. The picture behind me is in Poyan, a village in southeast Albania. The kid in the middle, his name's Francie. No, that's kind of the right. The kid in the middle is Jerji. He's a Muslim. The kid on the right is Francie. He's a Christian. And this passage will tie in nicely to this picture at the end. So let's read. Acts 13, verse 26. Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him, being Jesus. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. Therefore, he says also in another psalm, you will not let your Holy One see corruption. Verse 36, for David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this beautiful evening, and I thank you for all of the people here for coming. I thank you, Lord, for giving us another day of life and for blessing us with family and with friends and with a church that is dedicated to your word. God, I pray now that as I share about my experience in Albania, that people would be encouraged, convicted, and led to be more, to rely more upon Christ, and that those who may not know you would, that you would open their hearts. I thank you so much for this day, God, and please let my words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to move super fast. This is like an umbrella version of Albania, so I'm just going to be passing over. But there's going to be, if there's specific questions you have, please remember them, please write them down, because at the end we're going to have like 10, 15 minutes. I'd love to answer any questions. Let's get into it. First, let me give you guys a little bit of context. So this family right here is the Kramer family. 2 years ago, I was supposed to go to Albania. This thing called COVID came up, didn't work out. The next year, God opened the doors again, and I went for it. And this is the family that we were connected with in Albania. Corey and Christine are both master's alumni, both met at IBEX together, an Israel extension program the master's does. Got married and then went to Albania, have been there for 7 years. They have four kids, Shiloh, Talia, Jude, he's crazy, and then Finn, the one that Corey's holding. And they are an absolutely incredible family. And they were the ones that kind of organized our 8 weeks. We were not with them the whole time, but the first 2 weeks or so we were, and then we saw them numerous times throughout. Let me tell you a little bit about Albania. I'm sure not many of you know where it is, which is fine. I didn't either. But just picture Italy, and then just go to the right, and it's across the Adriatic Sea. Albania is bordered by Greece, Macedonia, Kosovo, and another one. But I can't remember. Historically, 1990, they came out of communism. So they're very, I don't want to say underdeveloped, but evangelically, there's not a whole lot of influence. There's very few solid churches, most of which are connected with this guy named Ian, who I'll explain later. It's a beautiful country. It's not like Italy. Lots of mountains, lots of lakes, and the Adriatic Sea is just, it's gorgeous. The religious makeup is big time Muslims and Orthodox, but neither are legit, if that makes sense. They're nominal. So if I ask someone what they believe, they say they're Muslim because their parents are Muslim, not because it's their identity or because what they live for. It's just a title. So this is my team. Starting from the top right is Lauren, then Vivica, Grace, Via, Eliza, and Emily. And then that's me, and then Bobby, Braden, and Michael. Absolutely incredible team. So thankful for all of them, and I'll talk a little more about them later. This is Pogradec. So when we landed in Albania, we drove 3 hours southeast to this city. It's a vacation town. It's the home of Corey's church. And that church is about 60, 70 people, which is huge for Albania. It's very pretty. The water is crystal clear. And like I said, it's a vacation town. So it's a very, like, I don't know how to describe it, very positive vibe all the time. This is another great picture. If you look to the right, like right there, you see there's tons of people walking. And I'll get more into that later. But in Albania, evening walks is like super common. You go with your group of friends, and you just walk for miles until it gets pitch black, and you walk back. And that was really key in getting to know people in evangelism. This is Corey's church. It's on the top floor of a three-story building. It's beautiful. And this is Sergey and Ryan. Ryan's an American, and Sergey's translating for him. But this is just to give you an idea of what the church looks like. This is what Corey's been building up for the last 7 years. When Corey first came, the church started with four teenagers studying the Bible together. Now it's grown to, like I said, about 60 people. And this church is a hot spot for like American teams. A ton of teams come here. And this is the first year since COVID that teams have come back. So when we were there, we saw Americans constantly, which was nice. So during the 2 weeks in Pogradets, our focus was on just evangelism to people who had no idea what the church was or who Jesus was. So several of these kids in this picture with me and Braden, that's the guy with the beard and the crazy hair. He's like a brother to me. These are guys that we had invited over the 2 weeks. And when I say invited, I mean we go out, we meet random people, we make a connection, and then we do it. Whether it be soccer or volleyball, we taught them spike ball. They love spike ball. Or go on hikes, and just like slowly build a relationship to the point where we could invite them to this church event, which was called, I'm not going to play the music because it's like hardcore electric music, but I'll just play it and I'll explain what it is, which is called Infection. Oh, Mr. Daniel, how do you mute the TV? Thank you so much. So what we were building to at the end of those 2 weeks was this event where 300 kids came and played this huge game of like cops and robbers kind of, but it was like zombies and humans. We were going to call it virus, but that wouldn't have gone over well. So infection was like a little bit less in your face. Speaking of COVID, by the way, I didn't touch a mask the day I landed. Albania is very much not, is over COVID. Am I good to play? So where this took place was in Korça. Pogradets is about 45 minutes north. And then Korça is like the mothership for the church. The church here is, it's 200 people. It's really big for Albania. And it was the first church that was started when communism fell. So what's happening here is that there's groups of people coming from like 10 or 11 different churches. Something that's really unique to Albania is that each church is connected. So they all help each other with resources. They do events together. It's very unique to America in that like, everyone just helps. What Corey does here is that he uses the analogy of dead people, zombies, and alive people to being dead in your sin and your trespasses and being alive in Christ. So if the sound was playing, you could hear that. But then that's Tyler, the guy with the long hair. He was then explaining the game. Then they say, Nadu Tre. And then they go, and this was nuts. I was on staff, so we were like tagging the kids, but we felt more like they were the zombies and we were the humans because they just like ran out of the gates. There's like 300 kids. But it was incredible, and Corey was able to share the gospel in full. And then we played the game, and remember that these are kids that like don't know what church is. They don't know who Jesus is. And these are people that over time we built relationships with and then invited. So there's like 20 kids that were in our church group who had never heard of the gospel before. The game was nuts. That was a good time. Let's go to the next one. Okay, our time in Pogradets finished. That was about 2 weeks. It flew by. The first few days is a little bit slow because you're trying to build connections. But once you build connections, your days are just packed. Because you just meet with kids the whole day, and then you go to sleep exhausted, and then you wake up in the morning just hype and excited to get going again. So that absolutely flew by. But now we went to Poyan, which is about an hour south. For those of you in the youth group who went to Haiti like 5 or 6 years ago, if Haiti's here, Poyan's like a little bit better. It looks nice because the roofs, but the roofs are really like the roofs are like the nicest part of the house. Underneath, it's broken and. The foundations are barely intact. But a really broken village, it was, see the mountains like right here? Right across those mountains is Greece, which was really, really pretty. It's a very agriculturally based village. If you can see around the ends, there's like tons of squares of plots of land. They grow all sorts of stuff. It felt like home too, in that I was in the middle of nowhere. But Korça was like 20 minutes away, which is like for us, like, I don't know, like North Olmsted or Westlake. So, and they were just surrounded by agriculture, which was really cool. Very poor, like I said, lots of broken families. I wasn't going to mention this, but I will now. The men don't work at all. Because it's very new out of communism, the men who are like 40 years and older don't think they have to work because they assume their checks are coming. Pachynism is done. So the new guys who are coming up, who are like my age and a little bit older, they're the ones that are taking the initiative and are working. But the reason like a village like this is so broken is because the moms just do all the work. They feed the family, they guide the family, and then they actually have to like make money too. So that was there was just some stories and some things we saw, which was terrible. But it's also very beautiful too, because it makes the church like a lot more tight-knit, and I'll get into that later. This is Poyan as well, so beautiful. And if you look here, this little white tower thingy, does anyone know what that is? It's a mosque. Awesome. And then if you see these little villages like over here and over here and over here, all these villages have a mosque in the center of the town, because it's just funny, because they have like these buildings, but no one uses them. It's like, it's all nominal. Occasionally people will be in the building, and people, like I said, claim to be Muslims, but there's no like big commitment. But what this would do is that this would pose a big problem for us, because these kids were taught to go to two different things when a Christian would, like, not confront, but converse with them. The Trinity and Jesus' divinity. Because the Trinity, if you don't study it, and if you don't see how the Scripture defines it, you just think that we're polytheists, that we just believe in multiple gods. And the same for Jesus' divinity. To them, they just say, oh, so God had a baby. So that was just a bit of a barrier that you had to get over, and that wasn't possible if it was just cold evangelism. You had to play soccer with these kids. You had to go on hikes with them. You had to build relationships so that when you would share the gospel, they'd realize that you weren't just another guy coming to them. Because when communism dropped, religious groups flooded in, whether it be Orthodox or Christian or Catholic or Muslim or whatever else there is. Everybody jumped in because like it's a new project. So they're very standoffish to missionaries. So let's go to the next one. This is me and Braden, and then Tony and Egla in the middle. Tony and Egla are he's the pastor in Poyan of the church. Tony's background, he has a very incredible story. He was actually in Korcha as a youth pastor with his wife. Very comfortable, the church is thriving a ton. And I'm not saying it's like it was easy for him, but it was like Korcha is, it's like the hub of Albania. But then he heard from his friend Arion, who is the pastor of Pogradets, that Poyan needed a pastor. And Tony was actually saved out of the Muslim religion. And Poyan is very heavily, nominally Muslim. So Tony took that and picked up him and Egla and his two kids, and they moved to Poyan. And that's just very, like when you meet missionaries and you get to know missionaries, some of them are like, you know, really impressive. Like they have big muscles, they have cool shirts, cool hats, they've got like long hair, and they've got tattoos that like talk about their mission, whatever. But Tony and Egla, like they're very like not average, but they're not like very impressive when you first meet them. Like they don't like try and bring the room, like they don't try and own the room, if that makes sense. They're just very humble and meek, and just have a desire to meet so many people and to share the gospel with so many people. And it's cool too, because as you get to know them, they actually become more impressive, because they're not like, I don't know how to explain it, but they're incredible people. And he is daily meeting with tons of people. He's like a father, I'll get into that more, but he's like a father figure for tons of guys in Poyan too, just because of that absence of dads in the village. This is a youth group in Poyan. This is the last day. This is when we're all saying goodbye to them. And something unique about this youth group and about all the youth groups in Albania is that Luke chapter 12, verse 49 became a huge reality for me. This is when Jesus is speaking about how the gospel brings division, about how like mothers and daughters will be separated and fathers and sons will be separated. And for me, growing up in a church where all of my family are believers and most of my extended family are believers, this passage didn't mean a whole lot to me, and I don't think it meant a whole lot to my team either. But coming here, if you look at all these faces of these kids, these are all people who have been like ripped out of their families. Not that they're homeless, but that their parents will literally like just neglect them and not pay attention to them because they claim to be believers. These are all kids who have seen a lot and have been through a lot, but are committed to the church because of the heart changes taking place because of Jesus, which just blows my mind, which is why this church is so tight-knit, because it's just like it's a family. And that was just an incredible time with them. This is the evening walks I was talking about before in Pogradets. Like I said, everyone goes on walks like every night, and this was one of them. And it was a really cool opportunity to hear the testimony of the believers, but also to invite unbelievers and to take them with us and to get to know them and to share the gospel with them. They eat dinner at like 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock. It was terrible. I got used to it. It took like 3 weeks. But they eat dinner like super late. And then they go on the night walks as the sun is setting. Poyan is beautiful. And then, like I said, Tony's like a father figure for so many guys in this village. This is also the last day. And if you just like look at the Albanian kids, a lot of these guys are 17, 18, 19. And what Tony does is that Tony like takes on that role, not only as a father figure, but as a Christian father figure. And all these guys look up to him so much. And just all that Tony does is so, it's incredible. He's very self-sacrificial. This is a VBS we did with Poyan as well, with some younger age kids. We were in Poyan for a total of 3 weeks. The first section was for 2 weeks, and the last one was just for 1 week. And this was in the last section of the 1 week. But we were there for the most amount of time. So Poyan was very close to all of our team's hearts, and we got to know a ton of people there, and were able to hopefully have a big spiritual impact. This is Tirana, the capital. Some of you know the provost. This is where their building / church is. And the provosts aren't directly connected to the church that we went to, but we were able to tour the place and to meet some of the staff there. But Tirana, it's really nice. It's really clean. It's really progressive. Tons of buildings are going up. It's very loud. But it was very, we were there for just 1 week, and we were there to help a very small new church kind of take root. And we went out and would invite 15 to 18-year-olds to these two events we were holding at the end of the week. And then every day we had a VBS with kids. Albania has about 3 million people, and 2 million of them are in this city. So it's packed. It's huge. There's lots of expansion going on. And the new church we went to go support is being headed up by Molly and Micah and their 4 kids. They're Americans. They're from the, I think from San Diego. But also with them is Messina. I don't know if you guys can see her. I can't even find her. Oh, yeah, in the middle, right here. She's an Albanian. She's 24, I think. She's from Pogradets, vacation city, really nice, really comfortable church. All of her friends are there. And she got the call to go help these Americans start this church when she was 23. And now she lives in Tirana planning a church with this American family. And just another really cool example of self-sacrificial love and just being willing to do anything for the kingdom. So she was great, super helpful to us. She speaks fluent English. She's hilarious. And then the American family, Micah, Molly, their 4 kids, they were great. This is the VBS we did. The theme was knights and castles. This is like the beginning of the week, only like 30 kids. By the end, there was like 60 or 70, and it was getting really crazy. But we played games with them, did music with them, were able to share the gospel with them, and it was very, very loud, but it was a good time. Something I began to develop here, Brayden and I were talking, and it's kind of tough to do ministry to young people because you don't feel as if you can talk. Like, I'm not going to talk to this 10-year-old about the doctrine of justification, and he's going to like nod his head like this and then ask me what just happened. But rather, when I was a kid, I went to Skyview Ranch. It's a summer camp in like central Ohio, and I have a distinct memory as a kid of these older people who showed love to me without using words. And when I became a Christian when I was 16, a lot of what I wanted to begin to be like was those people who showed love to me. And so I just wanted to be that face for these kids. I wanted to be kind to them, to be loving to them, to give my time, which is the best thing you can do for people, is to give your time to people. And so that was kind of challenging at the beginning, but then I realized that love isn't always speaking. Love is doing. So that finished, and then this is Korça. This is the biggest church in Albania. It has about 200 people, 200 or 300. Ian Loring, he's a British guy who came into Albania in 1989. He snuck in. He started preaching at a town square. Like, thousands of people showed up. He got arrested. He got kicked out. He snuck back in three or four times. The same thing happened until 1990 when communism dropped. And then he came in and started this church in Korça, which is the first evangelical church in Albania. We were here to do a 700-kid VBS. It was nuts. And I'm very thankful that Tirana came before this, because the idea of me being a face for kids was already, I understood it, so this was a blast. Just loving on kids, just spending time with them, even though they didn't speak a single word of English, which is fine. So here's the video. Is the volume still muted?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And then briefly, I'll just say, too, the guy who edits these videos, I don't know if you heard me say, but Tyler, he's an American who I'll tell more about later, but he's one of the guys that we went and stayed in his house with his wife, our team, and they hosted us. But this is in the same place that we had the Infection Apocalypse event. Like I said, 600, 700 kids. It was huge. And what happened is that these aren't all kids just from Korça. These are kids from around the country, because the 13 or 14 churches that are connected with the Korça church would bring their youth. So these are kids from all over Albania. And as you see here in that last one, there was one of the sections was where a lady was sharing the gospel. You guys remember those carpet things we had as kids where the teacher would, like, put them on the board? Yeah, flannograph. She would do things like that. Or they would have boards and have half finished pictures, and they'd paint the picture and they'd finish the picture as they would share the gospel. Super well organized. The Korça Church, there's Brady. The Korça Church has a solid staff of 20 to like 30-year-olds who work nonstop. And they're just incredible people. Some of them, like, are married. They grew up together in the church and got married together. And they just, like, they organized all of this. And we just kind of showed up and did the work. It was incredible. And they worked so, so hard. We had tons of games, tons of activities. And if you can't tell already, but the theme was cowboys. There's Tyler. He's the American guy. There's Nori. Zach, they're great people. When I say they preached the gospel, it's more like they snuck in the gospel. Because an event like this, if you can't tell already, the Korça Church has a great reputation in the oh, that's cool. I want to go back to that, actually. Did you guys see that cross? Yeah. That's crazy. They have a great reputation, so they wanted to maintain the reputation. So instead of just preaching the gospel and then getting kicked out and losing the opportunity in future years, rather, they just kind of snuck it in with illustrations, kind of snuck it in with skits and stuff, which went really well. There we go. So this is the English camp we did in Korça. This is our last week in Albania. And this was a total 180 flip from what I just did with kids. We split the high schoolers into three different groups, advanced, intermediate, and beginner English groups. And I was in the advanced group with Eliza and Via. And these kids, like, spoke better English than me. So what we taught them was not how to speak English, but rather to express in English, how to give concrete evidence in English, how to back up opinions with facts, and how to, yeah. And we spent that whole week doing that with those kids, which I was very thankful for, because that's when you're able to converse more deeply about the gospel. You're able to talk about the various biblical doctrines. You're able to... Also, there's a game that we played where... I don't know if you can see this on YouTube, but there's five different like poles, all like 10 feet away from each other. And the group starts in the middle, and we say something, like a prompt. So, for example, this is the one we used. you should be allowed to kill your baby in the womb. And the furthest on the right is strongly agree, and then agree, neutral, disagree, strongly disagree. And it would go to the one in which they, the one in which they stood, and then we would ask them to describe and explain why they believed what they believed. And so just from like games like that the whole week, we were able to then conclude the game with a biblical definition and with a biblical focus and just share the gospel the entire week, while Corey was also teaching two sessions each day, which was incredible. Corey's an incredible preacher. And then the last day of that Albanian English camp, we had a fake Albanian wedding. That was an absolute party. We just danced for like 4 hours straight. I wasn't able to get any dancing videos, but if you can later tonight, look it up. Their dancing is incredible. And it was an absolute party. This is Tyler and Lucy. So Tyler is the guy here who looks like he's from California, he surfs. And that's Lucy. She's the Albanian. And Tyler came over 3 years ago, and Tyler married Lucy. And then they're now working together in Korcha as youth group leaders. And Tyler has been there for, I think, like 8 months. And he was actually saved by coming to Albania, which is an incredible story. But yeah, this is the last day, I think. No, this is the last day. We went back up to Pogradets. We had a debrief with Corey. And as a team, we just kind of finished things up. And then, yeah, that was the trip. So go back in your Bibles with me to Acts, and I'll do this quickly, and so I'll have time for questions. I'm going to pretend right now you guys are the guy in the middle, JRG, okay? I did this at the youth group, one of the youth group ministries where I open up the Bible, and then I also shared the gospel with JRG several times. So I'm just going to pretend you guys are JRG. I'm going to tell you guys what I would have told him. Which I hope is encouraging, and which is also convicting too, as the gospel often does. So, in this chapter, if you flip back, Paul and Barnabas are speaking to Jews, and what he's doing is he's showing them all of their forefathers and how they didn't measure up. If you read in verse 37, but he whom God raised up did not see corruption. The reason he says corruption is because it's the same word he used for Abraham, for Isaac, for Jacob, for David, all of these celebrities that the Jews would look at and would look up to. And Paul says here, well, all of them died. Like none of them lasted. But let me point you towards this man who never died, who actually resurrected from the dead. In verse 33, and this is where the Albanian's eyes would light up. Verse 33, it says, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Paul gives three Old Testament references here in verses 33, 34, and 35. And the reason this would make the Albanians light up is because I showed them that the whole Bible is just, it's one big story about Jesus. Because before, these kids just thought that Jesus was created by man in order to, like, make Allah a little more sensitive and nice. Because they've been taught their whole life that Allah just looks at you for your works. That if you have enough good, you'll spend eternity with him. And if you have too much bad, you won't. So what this passage did is it gives three Old Testament references concerning Christ that proves three different things about him. The first one is found in Psalm 2, verse 7. And proves his divinity. I just read it. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Proves his divinity. The second one, I will give you, and this is the second reference, Isaiah 55, verse 3. I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. This proves his faithfulness. And remember, as you read this, like, think as a Muslim would think. Like you don't, like, all that you know is that Allah is a judge, and he doesn't love you, and he doesn't, even if you do enough good works, you're not guaranteed salvation. And then the third one, it proves his resurrection. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. Let me just read 36 and 39, and then I'll just end there. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. And this is like the climax of the chapter. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. I wish you guys could see the faces of Albanians when I tell them you don't have to do anything. It's already paid for you. When Jesus came and died on the cross, and I usually would say their name, like Jerji, he died for your sins, that you might believe in him. That there are no good and bad things in heaven, but when you go, it's just you and the Lord. And that Jesus Christ, he came and he died for you. And he died that he might be the propitiation between you and God. Because I always put my hands up like this and say, you're here, and God is here. And there's no way that you can go here. Even if you do all the good works in the world, they don't measure up. Because what God expects is perfection. What happened is that you had a bucket of paint dumped on you, and you're totally covered by this paint. And this paint is sin, and you can't get it off. But what happened is that when Jesus came and died on the cross and resurrected 3 days later, that paint was washed off of you by Christ. And Christ actually covers you. And when Christ covers you, God is pleased in his Son so that you actually can have a relationship with God, which is a game changer for the for the people that have been taught the Muslim religion their whole life, because it shows them that, like, Jesus loves them, and there's no love in Allah. Jesus loves them, and he died for them, that they might know him. So I hope that's encouraging to you guys to know that the same gospel that's preached here in Orthompsa is the same gospel that's being preached in Albania, that's being preached all over the world. And it was beautiful to see. Although we spoke a different language, we looked different, we talked different, we walked different. When you meet a believer in another country, a lot of connections happen really fast because you've been saved by the same Jesus. So that's my trip. For those of you who have questions, I would love to answer them. I kind of just passed over at a really high elevation, so if you have like specific questions about the trip, I would love to answer them. But nothing too crazy. Good.
Two questions. One, you said some of the kids don't speak English. Was somebody in your group a translator? Or how did you communicate with the kids?
What's your name?
Mark.
Throughout the trip, Mark, we had translators. But also the thing in Albania is that they're huge fans of American TV shows and huge fans of American celebrities. So several kids already spoke pretty good English. But for the ones who didn't, and especially in Poyang, because it's a very broken agricultural city or village, so there's not much influence. For that, we had lots of translators. And I learned enough, like, to be dangerous, but only so that I could, like, ask somebody to translate for me. Does that make sense? What was your second question?
Were you guys sent as part of the Master's College, or how did you come to go to Albania to begin?
So, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't describe that very well. So this is my team. Each of us go to masters, differing ages. I was actually the youngest on the trip. And all of them are either they just finished with masters or they're juniors or sophomores. So we're all master's students, all a part of this class called GO. It stands for Global Outreach. It's a class of masters that you can take spring semester to prepare for the summer trip. And what they do is they send – this year was rough because a lot of trips were canceled because of COVID in different countries. But if COVID wasn't a thing, what they would do is they'd have teams, maybe six or seven teams of seven people, and they go all over the world. Madagascar, Albania, Alaska, Greece, England, Mongolia, China, tons of places in South America, all usually going to alumni who, after graduating masters, became missionaries like Corey and Christine did. So.
How will this change how you talk to people now in the United States when you meet them and work with them or get to know them?
At the first 2 weeks of Florida, I learned that it takes time. And that, I've said this to people a ton over the last couple of weeks. When you get to know somebody, you open a book, and you can choose to read the book, or you can choose to just kind of look at it with waves over eyes and not really listen. So when you get to know people, now that I'm in America, I listen. And it sounds really bad, because it implies that I didn't before, which is true. But now I listen. Because when you get to know somebody and you open their book, and this is the power of a labor of love. Because something I learned in Albania too is that it takes time. It takes time. And you have to get to know what they like, what they don't like, what their family's like, where they're from. All with the intention to personalize the gospel. Not to change the gospel, but to personalize it. I think that's the biggest way it's going to change for me. Is that I'm going to listen better. But also that there's beauty in opening someone's book, because then it shows them that you care. You're not just throwing a track at them, which works too. People have been saved from cold evangelism. But, yeah, good question.
The kids on summer break, here from school?
Kids on summer break. The kids in Albania, they have summer school, like English camps, that are put on by the put on by the city. But only like the wealthy go to that. The other kids, they're just running around doing nothing all day. Like in Poyan, for example, they would like leave their home in the morning and then come back like at night to sleep. Kids are always wandering around and never really. There's a few good families, but many of them just wander around and try and find things to do, which is interesting in Poyan, because in Pogradets we've had to work really hard to gather people. But when we went to Poyan, it's a farm town, so everybody's doing nothing. So we would play in a soccer tournament and 200 kids would show up. So it was just we learned to become very moldable and willing to change. Which was hard at first, but then we got the hang of it.
At the beginning, you said that you weren't in any danger. Is Albania a place where danger is prominent right now?
So, it varied with the cities and villages we were in. Albania as a country generally is very safe. The culture demands for people to not, you know, backstab, but demands for people not to have a, like, there's not a whole lot of stealing, not a whole lot of theft or whatever, but it would change as we would go to different, so for example, Poyan was pretty bad. Girls never walk alone. We always try and get in the house before a certain time, but it wasn't terrible. Albania as a country generally is very much heading for, in the positive direction. And that they're developing. But at the same time, Albania is shrinking because everyone's leaving to come here. Everyone's leaving to go to Germany because Albanians, once they get smart, and once that new generation is coming in and they're beginning to get education, they realize that Albania is kind of falling apart, if that makes sense. Which is why the older generation, the believers there, are trying to get kids to stay and to develop the next generation. Especially in regards to the church.
You've mentioned differences in the churches several times, just ways you saw the church in different ways. What are some ways that will impact you and your view of the church? In your slides, you mentioned that several times.
So I said each church was different, obviously, but they were all kind of the same. In that they would help each other, which is tough because I don't want to come back to America and be like, oh, you know, we need to partner with tons of churches because America's a little bit bigger than Albania. But there was so much beauty in the fact that, like, at events like the big VBS one, there would be the staff who were of similar ages who would meet and like hug each other. And say hi, ask them how they're doing, how's the church going? And they live like 3 hours apart. So there was a lot of beauty in that the churches were connected. But also, I don't want to, like, they're not under one banner. Like, they're very unique in each of their churches. And I think that's going to be something interesting that as Christianity grows in Albania, I wonder if they'll maintain that or if they'll, you know, split off. Because right now they're all under Ian Loring's name, the Brit that came and started the first church, which he's amazing. He's a great guy. How it'll change my view of church or how churches work together? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe working more together with other churches. Working, like, these massive events that would take place in Albania. Those are incredible. And I would love to see, like, 5 or 6 churches come together and do that. But it's tough in America because you have, in regards to biblical solid teaching. In Albania, these 14 churches, when they're started, like, Ian says, you stick to the Bible, and if you stray, you're out of here. I'm putting a new pastor in there. Whereas in America, you have churches of all, like, some are solid, some are, like, melting, and then some are just terrible. You know what I mean? In Albania, it's the same. Like, there's some rough churches in Albania, too. But if that makes sense. So. Any more questions? Hannah.
You mentioned that the parents are pretty hands-off, like, as a whole. So how does the VBS, like, happen? Is that something that the kids hear about and that they go to out of their own free will, or do the parents actually send them?
So the younger age, they're required to do, like, a permission slip, which I'm sure many of them just wrote themselves. But what we would do, in order to, like, not just lose kids, if you guys look closely, there's, like, what are those things called? The Cowboys? What? Bandanas. I'm sorry. We would give, there was, like, 10 different groups, and each group would have a different color bandana. So we would do that to, like, so not to lose kids. But in regards to kids just coming, it wasn't hard. Like, in America, you have to sign, like, 5 papers and do, like, a concussion test. In Albania, the mom's like, come back before it's dark, and they come back. Wouldn't recommend it, but it's cool. Because like if I want to go play soccer with a group of kids who are like Ellie's age, like they're like, all right, we're coming, and they just come with me and they play. I don't know if that answers your question. Sorry, 1 second. Sarah, do you have a question? Oh, go ahead. What's your name? Second.
Are the churches getting pushback from any kind of a Muslim movement or organization or anything like that?
So in Poyan, the picture I showed you with that mosque right here, there was a story a year ago about a group of Muslim guys that came together and were going to, like, attack the church. It never happened. But generally, no, because they're nominal. There's not much oomph behind it. Because they're Muslims who, I mean, it's like Christians in the Bible Belt, like the southeast part of America. Like, they're just, it's just a title, not an identity. So not a ton of pushback. But like I said, we have to be careful. So like the big VBS is 700 kids. We can't just share the gospel directly because we'll get shut down. So it's not dangerous. There's like a little bit of pushback. But that's why I love the team in Korcha, because they're just so strategic and very careful about how they sneak in the gospel, and they do it very well. With the intention to, and if I could like define our mission over these 8 weeks, like our mission was to get people who did not know Christ, didn't know the church, and bring them to the church. Because we could go and just pass out Jolly Ranchers and like give high fives and leave, and that doesn't do anything. But rather we want to put them to something that is staying there permanently, which is the church, and we want to put them in leadership that will guide them and lead them to a relationship with the Lord. So not a ton of pushback, and it's probably going to get looser as it goes, whereas America, it's getting tighter, I think. But no, not too much.
You talked about stories where people came to Christ while you guys were over there. What did those kind of stories look like? Like, what was the prompt? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
That's a loaded question, because we had the first week, there was a lot of, like, when you evangelize, you first look for success, and then realize that God hasn't called you to be successful, He just called you to be faithful and obedient. So that kind of took a lot of weight off our shoulders, and the rest of the trip flew by. Because when the Bible says just be faithful, it doesn't matter how many people are saved. It just matters that you were faithful, were obedient. There was a girl in Poyon who became a believer, which was a beautiful story, because the first 2 weeks we were there, she, Grace, one of the girls on the team, in the middle right there, Grace, like, got coffee with her often, would, like, go on hikes there often, and she wouldn't have it the first 2 weeks, and the last week she accepted Christ, like, half of the week, and that was incredible. That's why we were there. And there's some other stories, too, but I'll say this, too, it was almost, near the end of the trip, I was thinking it was actually a good thing that there wasn't like a, not a revival, but we wanted to point kids towards something that would stay there. And if we went there and got 50 kids to say a prayer, that's cool. But rather I would want to point them, well, we did this with hundreds of kids, we'd put them in the church so that they can do the work because we're leaving. There's a few more stories, not a lot, of people who came to know Christ. But what really got us hyped is hearing, like yesterday I was messaging a kid who is getting involved in the church, and he didn't know who Jesus was when I went. Like, I was literally talking to him, and I say Jesus, and he's like, "Who's he?" And I like start crying. But like, it's just incredible. Yeah.
Two questions. Is a bunch of Americans half a world away, is there something that we can do practically to help these churches or these believers in Albania? That's question one. Question two, what is the most direct and practical way that we can pray for these ministries and these believers in Albania?
So Corey and Christine, they're part of an organization called Thrive. They're separate, but linked arms with Ian's organization, I think. I'm not positive. But they started their own kind of missionary project because there was some doctrinal stuff going on with the other group that wasn't good. So they just became their own entity and then work alongside Ian with the Corcha Church. Their page is Thrive Missions. You can donate there directly, and you can pray for them. You can if you watch the website, they do a really good job with videos and updates on the church. And something really cool about the Pergonets Church is that the church is connected with three different businesses, a coffee shop, a bakery, and a hotel. And each of those support the church, and the church supports the businesses. It's just a really cool picture of not how a church should be, but just the community was really cool. Giving financially directly there, and then I don't know, we could send teams there too, that'd be cool, but that's down the road. And then how to pray, that's a great question. There's a lot of, what's the passage in the Bible where there's a lot to do, but there's not a lot of workers. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. That's kind of like Albania. I mean, it's like everywhere else in the world. But in Albania specifically, I think you could pray for men and women to come and to serve, to support, to love. And just pray, too, for the development of the churches. There's a lot of young people with not a lot of experience. That's the thing with Albania, is that there's not a whole lot of believers above 50. There are some, but not many. Because they're very heavily communist influence. But if you could pray for that, the young people, they would be guided, they would be continuing to like hold to the Bible. As long as they hold to the Bible, that's great. But yeah, that's like a, if you want to ask more specifically, I'd love to talk to you afterwards in regards to support. But it's 8. Yeah, go ahead.
Todd, he says that you wouldn't share the gospel directly because you'd get shut down. What forces were there that would be a problem? Were they governmental forces or just the population that if you were too direct, it might affect?
Yeah, let me rephrase that a little bit. I wouldn't share the gospel directly because I had to show the person I loved them first. Now, there were some times, like on bus rides, I'm never going to see this guy again, so I go for it. And when I say shut down, I mean just the guy says, I'm not a fan. I'm Muslim. I'm Orthodox. I'm like, are you really Muslim? What do you believe? He's like, I don't know. That's usually how it went. But when I say shut down, just I just rejected. Just not a fan. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. Nothing crazy though. Nothing government wise. But that was tough to learn too the first week. Being rejected a lot. That was hard. And then it just went back to your question, like it's about faithfulness, not about success. And then our job got a lot easier. Not easier, but like as a Christian, like I'm just being faithful. Like I don't have to save 10 people a year. Like there are no numbers. I just need to be faithful. And then if the Lord wills, then the numbers will come. So, thank you. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Times clapping is done at this church, right? Thank you very much, Todd, for sharing us with that. And as believers in America who, again, you grew up in this church, your whole life you've been fed God's word and you've known what it is to trust Jesus from an early age. And the same is true of me and many other people in this room. For others, the Lord has brought you later in life. And, you know, as we see these people hearing God's word, I'm excited to hear that they will find that sweetness of trusting in Jesus. So let's sing the last final hymn, 699, that it is truly sweet to trust in Jesus. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the ability to gather together around your word, around the truth of it. And thank you so much for being so plain and clear in your word, for telling us who you are and how you work with man, for providing for us everything that we need, your great salvation through the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, who pays for our sins, and we only receive it by faith, and for heaping blessing upon us during this life and in the next. Lord, thank you so much for the way that you work through difficulties in our lives. Thank you for the way that you work through your missionaries across the whole world, for the gospel of your salvation to go forth to so many people who have never heard it before in the many different ways through missionaries that you've placed, through teams like Todd's that has gone out and ministered. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to bless the work that this team has done, continue to bless the work that the permanent missionaries that are staying there are doing. And Lord, we just pray that your name would be glorified among the sons of men, and that you would call out of this world a remnant of people to be your very own people. Thank you so much that Christ is our sure foundation. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Dear Lord God, we are thanking you that you are sovereign over all of the events that take place on the earth. And we thank you so much that you have lowered yourself to interact with man and to provide salvation for us, so undeserving as we are and so kind and good and gracious as you are. Lord, please grow your church in America. Please grow your church in Albania. Please grow your church throughout the world, not just in numbers of people who claim your name, but, Lord, in real faith, in real maturity of these churches so that your work will be accomplished and that that believers will love each other and serve each other and that they will be salt and light to a watching world that is lost and that is doomed. Lord, thank you so much for your kindness to us. May we reflect your goodness, your truth, and your beauty to all of those who we interact with in the watching world. Help everything that we do be able to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please bless us as we have conversations about evangelism, to our neighbors and to our coworkers and to our family members, Lord. And Lord, just please bless those, specifically those pastors and teachers in churches in Albania that we learned of tonight, and be with them. And just, Lord, we thank you for how that you work in our lives. Lord, again, we specifically lift up to you our other needs that we have. We think of people in our church who are sick or ill or in danger of life. And Lord, we just pray that we will be with them and their families. And as we unite around them to lift them up in prayer, we just pray that you would be faithful to preserve us as a people and to guide us and to give us life, Lord, spiritual and physical, before we are in utter need before you. Lord, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.